Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. California's Republican Party is plotting a comeback again. GOP stalwarts gathered in Sacramento over the weekend for their biannual convention. In recent years, there's been a tug of war between pragmatists desperate to win at the ballot box and old-timers who don't want to change tack. After the drubbing in November, the pragmatists appear to be gaining the upper hand, as Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow reports.
California Republicans, like outgoing party chair Tom DelBaccaro, insist they've got a message that appeals to voters.
In plain and simple terms, the reality is the record of the Democrat Party in the state is the highest unemployment combined with the highest taxes of any major state in the country. That is their record.
It seems like a winning pitch, but California's Republicans have lost and lost. They hold just 11 seats in the 40-member Senate, are outnumbered by a 2-to-1 margin in the Assembly, and don't hold a single statewide office. Only 29% of California voters are currently registered Republican. But the weekend's key speaker, strategist Karl Rove, told California's Republicans he doesn't want to hear any excuses.
My message is this. Get off your ass.
Rove's advice to California's GOP? Broaden the base. Engage in California's growing ethnic communities.
We need to be asking for the vote in the most powerful way possible, which is to have people asking for the vote who are comfortable and look like and sound like the people they're asking the vote from.
Rove wasn't alone in that mindset. Over the weekend, leader after leader talked about how Republicans need to do everything they can to appeal to Latino voters.
We need to provide Latino voters Republican candidates who are from their neighborhoods.
Ruben Barrales recently took over a project called Grow Elect, which aims to identify and support conservative Latino candidates.
We need to build a farm team, a bench of Republican elected officials who can win in an increasingly diverse California.
The idea isn't groundbreaking.
Quite honestly, it really was not new. Yeah, I said we've all heard this sort of thing.
Bay Area delegate Jeff Wald is one of many attendees who admitted the party has talked about broadening its base before. It may not be a new message, but this time the idea seemed to strike a chord.
You put the Latino Republican caucus of candidates and you could put us in a phone booth and there was plenty of room.
When Barrales held a meeting during the convention to talk about his recruiting project, the crowd spilled out the door.
You know, it's about time. It really, really is.
Former Lieutenant Governor Abel Maldonado has spent years talking about broadening the Republican base.
The party has no choice. You either communicate and work and communicate to Latinos, or you're committing political suicide for your party.
California Republicans can't get back in the game overnight. Jim Brulte, who was elected party chairman this weekend, has admitted it will take years to build the GOP up to a point where it can compete and win statewide elections again. But the crowd of conservatives drew some hope from Karl Rove, who talked about how Democrats dominated Texas when he started working in politics.
Out of the 31 members of the Texas State Senate, we had doubled our support in the State Senate in one election cycle alone. We'd gone from 1 to 2.
These days, of course, Republicans dominate Texas even more than Democrats control California. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
Tomorrow, voters in Los Angeles head to the polls, and while they could be choosing a new mayor, the election with national interest is the one for control of the nation's second-largest school system. As of Friday, the campaigns for 3 seats on the Los Angeles Board of Education collectively clocked in at $4.4 million. Who's spending that kind of money? On the one side, employee unions and labor supporters. On the other, with a bigger collective checkbook, a coalition led by the current L.A. mayor, Antonio Villaraigosa, including advocates for charter schools and changes to teacher management. Friday was the deadline for state lawmakers to report gifts, among other financial disclosures. There appears to be bipartisan support for gifts, but let's focus on the folks who lead the two houses. Assembly Speaker John Perez received nearly $18,000 in gifts, including a $6,000 trip to South Korea and a $100 crystal duck. Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg took gifts worth $4,400, including nearly $1,000 in food and lodging from the Association of California Life and Health Insurance Companies for making a speech at the group's conference. there was little in her background to suggest Vanessa Armendariz could become a doctor. But at key moments when she was growing up, mentors from similar circumstances made her dream seem possible. She explains now as part of our occasional series, What's Your Story?
Like any child, I was terrified of going to the doctor. But as a child of a low-income family in Stockton, my reasons were different. I wasn't afraid of a shot. Instead, I dreaded the hours-long waits and seeing my parents struggle to afford the visits. I couldn't stand my family feeling unheard or helpless. I wanted to change that for families like mine. So I decided to become a doctor. But in high school, I was told that as a low-income Latina, my chances of getting pregnant were higher than going to college. My mother was pregnant at 16, and no one in my family had attended college, so it was hard to argue those statistics. Then, my parents were caught selling drugs to support our family. My mother continued to support my dream, but it seemed impossible. That changed when I found a program that introduced disadvantaged students to medicine through mentoring and visits to our regional health centers. I interacted with physicians that I could relate to. They came from low-income minority backgrounds and were passionate about giving back. I realized that if they could do it, so could I. I excelled academically and graduated high school as valedictorian. I was even accepted to my dream school, Johns Hopkins University, on a scholarship. There, I met world-renowned physicians, traveled to Honduras, and mentored Latino youth. My students, many of who were undocumented, gang-affiliated, or from low-income households, reminded me of myself. I met students like my brothers, who were capable but never attended college because they felt compelled to provide for their families. Many children of low-income families have this mindset. The only way to change it is to help them believe they can pursue their goals and to show them how. That's what mentors from difficult backgrounds who have achieved their dreams can do. When we inspire and challenge our young people of color, they achieve much more than they've imagined. Today, I work at the San Joaquin Medical Society in Stockton, a job that includes facilitating the very program that got me started. I will apply to medical school this summer. I hope to return to the San Joaquin Valley to practice medicine and to help more families trust their doctors rather than fear them, to deliver quality care regardless of income or language or the struggles they've faced. If more young people of color get the kind of help I did, the future of healthcare in all communities will be brighter.
You can listen to other stories like this online. Look for the link to What's Your Story at californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Monday, March 4th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical support to public agencies and private companies. URS.com. And the California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org.